Hello, John.
I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
God, yes.
Yeah, in this new Britain. We hope you're all well and stuff.
Yeah, all of that stuff. And the wellness. The wellness most important beyond the stuff.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And this podcast, as if there are any regular listeners, will be aware, it's a music-based podcast where we talk about music that we've either not listened to before or are rather fond of.
That was one of the worst explanations I've ever heard for a podcast, John. Mm-hmm. God bless you. Also, you realise that, you know, you've tried to explain the podcast to the people who've already heard the podcast and not the people who never have.
Now, for the people who never have heard this podcast, it's...
Where have you been? I mean, come on. We're a high point of creative endeavour since the beginning of time.
Exactly. If the beginning of time was April this year.
Yeah. Mm. So since then.
So, this week, we're going to be doing another look at the Rolling Stone Top 100 Albums.
Mm.
Of all time.
Of all time, which we should clarify is a list culled from the Rolling Stone Top 500. Which,
yes,
if anything, is overkill. I mean, 500 albums. Do me a favour.
Do me one.
I mean, we've heard, listened to hardly anything from the Top 100. I mean, what kind of dregs are there? in the other 400. We should probably look at some point. We'll see. Anyway.
We
but not today.
No.
Not today.
Not today. At some point we should look beyond the Top 100 because the Top 100 consists of an awful lot of Bob Dylan.
So much Dylan. And we're not going to do an artist more than once.
No. As it were.
And who knows? We may never do Bob Dylan. We will.
We will.
Probably later today. But no. Yeah. But not today. Not this episode.
Not this week. Listeners... listening to this in real time, live as it's happening.
Yes. Be this your first time or your umpteenth time.
Umpteenth.
Yes.
Before we dig into the album that we've selected for this week, I just wanted to... because this podcast started when we went to the last ever ATP festival.
What we didn't know at the time was going to be the last ever ATP.
Turns out it was.
Yeah.
The first time I ever went to an ATP festival with Matt, who you will have heard in the first two episodes of this, we went to the Pontins in Camber Sands.
Was it Pontins then or was it Butlins?
It was a Pontins. There is also a Butlins in Minehead, which is the one that Matt had been to before then. And then, yeah. So we went to the Pontins in Camber Sands for the first two ATP festivals. I was lucky enough to go to, and that particular ATP was home to a rather entertaining incident.
Okay, I'm not surprised. I mean, there were a lot of entertaining incidents at the ATP that I went to, which is my first and now only ATP, a fact I'm going to be incredibly sad about. I'm also very pleased I was there at all.
Yes.
And if you want to hear about any of the incidents that happened at that ATP, then check out our very first two podcasts, one of which was actually recorded right there in our chalet as it happened.
And so those two episodes are called ATP-ness.
Lols.
I'm a child.
I know.
This, I'm just going to give you the headline because the headline is so beautifully written.
Okay.
I mean, you almost don't need the rest of the story, but... Christopher Maloney flees Pontins chalet sausage fire in his pyjamas.
Sausage fire in his pyjamas? That sounds like a Frank Zappa album.
It really does.
Sausage fire in his pyjamas on the third stage. Cancelled. Thanks, Barry.
Oh, dear. Always use cooking utensils, to be honest. So the story reads, the story is by Mayor Nissim, and it's on Digital Spy. And it's, Christopher, the former X Factor contestant, had a good gig touring Pontins resorts.
No one's ever said that. A good gig touring
Pontins resorts.
Oh,
but,
no.
But he'll have to keep a keener eye on his frying pan if he's to stay on the road. Out in the Camber Sands Resort in Sussex, the singer was prepping a fry-up with the all-important bacon and sausages sizzling away.
Indeed.
When disaster struck.
Disaster! Sausage trauma!
I only popped out of the room for a minute. But when I came back, there was smoke everywhere and the cookery had even caught fire. Bugger Christopher me. Told the Liverpool Echo.
You don't leave pork product unattended. I mean, oh, listeners at home, I made the breakfasts.
Oh.
While we were at, with the assistance of Alice, I basically made all the breakfast because me and Alice were the only buggers who were actually awake at a reasonable hour. And granted, we were already drunk on vodka by that point. But
what better time to make
buzzers up there was it? but you know, I was tending to that sausage and bacon with you a wary eye and a black pudding.
You were
as well.
You were a very tender cooker of breakfast.
Yes. You don't leave that stuff, you know, just have a 40 winks for a bit.
And Christopher continues, the chalet next door had to evacuate, and I was absolutely ashamed. It was so embarrassing. I was still in my pyjamas.
I mean, hey, Professor Farnsworth, I am already in my pyjamas.
I mean, my sympathy for him wasn't all that great to begin with, but it waned more. They've quoted one of his tweets in this article. And he says, just been to a local shop at Pontins, Camber Sands, bought some bacon and sausage and nearly burnt my chalet down. And then the hashtag he used is, knew I should have went the cafe. Should have.
Knew I should have went the cafe.
He continued, people were pointing and saying, there's that lad from the X Factor. And I was just...
They were a long way away from home, weren't
they?
We should have gotten a pressed out in Pontins.
I've come all this way to see Christopher Maloney sing at the Pontins in Camber Sands, and he's bloody got me evacuated from my chalet.
Oh,
bastard.
This is starting to get like an episode of Eurotrash.
I'm not going to do a cod French accent. But he says as well, I'd only had 3 hours sleep, so it was just the last thing I needed.
3 hours sleep. 3 hours sleep. Luxury, mate.
Luxury.
I was cooking breakfast on 2 hours.
2 hours sleep.
Orange juice and raspberry vodka. And clangers.
I'm pissed.
Yes.
You tell the young people of today that, they won't believe you.
Luxury, there, luxury.
I had to go out at 3 a.m, 2 hours after I'd been to bed, and clean road clean with tongue.
Luxury.
Oh. So,
but no, just to take that serious moment just for a second. That was a very entertaining story, Jonathan.
Thank you
very much.
I'm glad to have supplied
but,
that.
But I am genuinely very saddened by the loss of ATP.
Yes.
And it's something I haven't... Given the genuine serious news stories that have been going on throughout the world over the last few weeks, I felt like I haven't really felt that I can really talk about it.
No, it's been dwarfed.
It just feels so petty. Mm. Oh, you've lost your hipster music festival, and rightly so, because there are a lot worse things, really, truly, mind-boggeringly awful things have happened over the last few weeks.
Yes.
But still, I'm very sad about the loss of ATP.
Yeah. And, well, it's interesting, because, I mean, I joked the other day that in light of all this chaos going on in the UK, and meanwhile Wimbledon is still happening, that kind of makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think...
It was the resilience of the honest Brit. Ugh. Ugh. Stuff off her lip, don't you know?
Nah. No.
Suck it.
But,
suck my stiff upper lip.
I mean, I love the idea of music festivals, but I'm also not keen on outdoor music festivals. And that's one of the things that I really liked about ATP.
It's brilliant. It was the Recluses Music Festival.
It was great. And I think if there are other things similar to that going on somewhere, I would like to know about them so that we can use those as an alternative. Because
I'd love to do it. Latitude and End of the Road, they have a lot of great bands I'd like to check out, but they're still... They have better camping options than just dossing in a tent, which frankly just I hate camping.
I'm not a happy camper.
No, but I mean the fact that ATP it was at a holiday camp, and you'd have your own little chalet. Yes, it was a bit crap. It was a lot better than being in a tent. There was a shower right there. There was a cooker and the beds. Not very good beds, but proper actual mattress on a frame beds.
And then
all of the performances were in the lovely little halls.
They were in like venue type rooms.
They're a bit like school disco type rooms, but they were inside.
Yeah.
And that's not to be sneezed at, you know. I had the best damn time at that festival.
Yeah. And I mean, we had up until the other week, we've been toying with the idea of maybe thinking of booking a trip to one of the Iceland ATPs because it's run by a different company.
Because, yes, the entire ATP organisation, the live arm, it would turn out to be like an octopoidal. it wasn't just ATP, as we originally thought, was just like the British arm.
The British end of it.
You know, and so there are no more Pontins, no more Butlins, but... Hello, what about the Iceland one, which is completely separate? No, it's not actually completely separate. The entire live arm of ATP has just collapsed.
Yeah.
Sad and boneless to the ground.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at your turn of phrase. I don't think that's funny.
Yeah, but all of the individual gigs that they set up as well, because it wasn't just the festivals. There were lots of, granted they were mostly around London.
Yeah.
So, whatever. As someone who lives in Stoke, bothered, mate. But it's still sad that the whole of the live arm is just kind of gone.
Yes.
Leaving basically the records. I mean, they've been building up a little stable of bands under the ATP label. Then you start to wonder, how long is that going to last now?
Well, they must be looking at everything with a degree of uncertainty.
Yeah. So what we really need, I think, is for someone to buy up the ATP Live, ATP Festival's name.
Yes.
And someone who actually knows how to use money to pay people who need money to be paid.
Yes.
You know the bands and such, and the venue. that was the funny thing about the press start in ATP, wasn't it? Because there was all that talk. It was about a month or so before it was actually due to happen.
And we
there
were
was
all...
suddenly kind of press start in Pontin say it's not happening because they haven't been paid. And then while we were there, there were certain acts going like, oh, some they're not turning up because they haven't been paid. Like, what are you doing?
I know. Well, because we were watching that with. Concern, I think, is probably the mildest way of putting it.
Mm.
Bandying Facebook messages between one another, going, what? Mm.
Hello. And then Matt was, I remember saying that, well, they haven't screwed up a festival booking yet. Could people be concerned about Jabberwocky, but that was a one-day event.
Yes.
They haven't screwed up a multi-day festival yet. And then while we were at ATP... The following weekend's the Drive Like Jehu one folded. It's like
that folded.
Oh god! I think we realised then how close we came to not seeing a damn thing.
Yeah.
At the press start in ATP.
And like I said, I've probably said this in episode 2 as well of this podcast. Actually, was that as an end user, and from a punter's point of view, it was superb.
It's beautiful.
All the bands that we saw were brilliant. The mood was really good, and at the same time, everyone's walking around going, "Have you seen what's happening next week?"
If you just read about it on Facebook or on like a Drowned in Sound or whoever else was carrying any stories about it, you'd think it was this dour, doom and gloom event. No, everyone's having a great time.
Yeah,
and it was comfortably the best live experience I think I've ever had.
Yeah.
But yes, there was all of this administrative bugger aboutery that was just dreadful.
It was really dreadful.
Lordy, anyway, I think we've talked for a good long time about ATP.
We have.
It's ins and outs and what have yous.
I can tell you what would have been an absolute disaster, though.
What would have been an absolute disaster, John?
For the one that we went to, if they'd booked Christopher Maloney.
Well, you know, it would have been, well, we wouldn't have had to have put on the Wicker Man.
Well,
at the end, we'd have had a burning chalet.
we'd have watched a man having a sausage fire in his pajamas.
Oh God! Oh Jesus Christ! Although, actually, Yeah, probably should mention the director of Wicker Man having died recently.
Oh, yes.
Since we've mentioned that, which obviously very sad. And also tying into ATP, which was the first time Matt
again
ever saw Wicker Man.
That was his, yeah.
His first encounter with that classic horror film, being the sing-along version.
His first appointment with the Wicker Man.
Indeed.
Yes.
Keep his appointment with the Wicker Man. What a film. And what a festival. And sad losses all around.
Yes.
Well, I'm totally bombed out, John. Do you know what would cheer me up?
What would cheer you up?
An interstitial sting of some kind.
Ah, well, in that case, yes. We're about to listen to an album. What album are we about to listen to?
We're going to listen to Moondance by Van Morrison, because I don't know if we feel bad about maybe sticking it to him a little bit in the when we're recording the Eraserheart episode. I know I don't, but we probably should actually give his music a bit of a go, because it's there. Two of his albums are there in the Rolling Stone Top 100 list.
We're actually between Moondance and Astral Weeks.
Have we not landed on one or two other?
No, I don't think we have.
Well, should we toss a coin then?
Yeah, let's toss. That's a good idea.
That's good radio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've got some coins right here in my wallet.
You'll have to trust us at this point, listeners.
Yeah. Hear that? That's genuine British currency right in there.
It sounds so weak.
Which is worth less and less every day, but it's fine. Okay, I have what is currently valued as a 50 pence piece in my hand. Okay, heads or tails? Oh, so tails, moon dance, heads, for weeks?
Yep. Heads.
Oh, it's going to be Astral Weeks then.
Astral Weeks.
Right then, so ignore what I said earlier, which you usually do, let's be honest. Astral Weeks it's going
to
be.
And while we're listening to that, I'm drinking an Annings fruit cider, which is pear and mint flavoured.
That actually does sound lovely. Which I actually know it's lovely. I had a little sweet earlier. Yeah. Well, I'm drinking the punningly named Ale of Wight by Goddard's, which was brewed in the Isle of Wight. Oh,
you're joking.
See what they did there?
I see what they did there.
It describes itself as blonde, hoppy, citrusy and zesty. And it's all of those things and more.
Sweet.
Marvellous.
Well, in the meantime, we'll see you after these noises.
Noise.
And so they had a look and his bum hair was caked in shit.
Oh dear. Well, enough of that that trip to the supermarket. We've just been listening to Van Morrison's Astral Weeks.
Boy howdy,
that was an experience. But yeah,
it's not one we'll be repeating.
But enough about that in a minute. We're going to be sticking to apparently what Van Morrison likes to do, and setting a timer on this recording. We'll be restricting ourselves in our chat, starting now. Okay, right. So Van Morrison's Astral Weeks. That was interesting.
It was.
So, much as with Miles Davis, we don't set out to do the whole kind of sacred cows thing, taking something that is regarded as brilliant and stripping it down just for the fun of stripping it down.
No.
However, unlike Miles Davis, which we actually quite enjoyed.
We did enjoy Miles Davis.
This was awful.
Absolutely dreadful.
Oh, God. All the way through, I was trying to find things positive to say. As soon as the track was a minute in and I hadn't wanted to tear out my own eyes so I could stuff them into my ears, I would say, ooh, I quite like this one.
Yes.
Only for it to then just keep on going and we're going to turgid, self-indulgent mess.
Let's start with the positives.
All right. That won't take long.
Sweet Thing, Cypress Avenue, The Way Young Lovers Do,
yeah,
and the last track, Slim Slow Slider.
Yeah.
Were tracks that we thought were okay.
Yeah, musically.
Musically. Because vocally, I am not a fan of Van Morrison. Less so than I thought I was.
I know. I mean, there's tracks of... I mean, I think it's fair to say both of us in the past have heard tracks by him.
Yeah.
And you know, we've heard like best ofs or the individual track here and there. I mean, granted, we've already hit upon the fact that John is not a fan of Brown Eyed Girl.
Yep.
Mainly through overexposure, would that be fair to say?
Yes.
Although that, of course, is not on this album. is that ironic? I'm not sure. Let's ask Alanis.
I've been on holidays where every bar I've walked into has played Brown Eyed Girl. I've been at weddings where they've played Brown Eyed Girl. I've been at people's parties where somebody's put on Brown Eyed Girl. Sick of that song. But I'm now equally sick of Van Morrison's voice in general.
But it's fair to say that prior to this recording, there were a couple of Van Morrison songs I actually quite enjoyed.
Yeah.
I like Gloria.
Yeah.
I think it's a proper good rock number.
Yes.
And the night is also very entertaining, partly because it's obviously two songs that have been cut and shunted together.
It really does.
Bizarre, but also not on this album.
Yeah.
Now, this album, it seems, is some kind of folk rock, more folk. It's basically straight folk.
Yeah.
Mixed with nonsense.
The problem,
turgid nonsense.
One of the problems is that for two-thirds of the album, almost none of the backing is playing in time with one another.
Yes, and not in an interesting way. There are some albums like, I mean, we discussed as we were listening to it, like a Trout Mask Replica by Captain Beefheart, that nothing is playing in time with anything else, but in a way that is curiously dynamic and exciting.
Yeah.
And you feel that there's a purpose to it.
Yes.
Although I do think part of that is the fact that a lot of the tracks are kept quite short, not like ridiculously short, but like under like the 5 or 6 minute mark.
Yes.
Whereas Astral Weeks is 8 tracks, average, at least half of which are over 5 minutes.
Yeah, and they're all quite repetitive.
They're
not built over a massively changing dynamic.
Yeah.
The chords are pretty repetitive. I mean. Yeah. I used to play at open mic nights a hell of a lot, and you came with me to some of them.
I did, yes.
And there would always be, at some point, somebody would get up and play a song that featured 2 chords, maybe a 3rd chord somewhere, for about 5 minutes, and ramble madly on about some improvised blues lyrics or something weird like that. And that's what this sounded like.
For a whole album. With sort of like flute and clarinet and possibly a tenor sax, we weren't sure.
And Van Morrison, it seems, can only sing one melody.
Yeah.
he could have easily sung Brown Eyed Girl over any of the music that was being played on this record.
And it would have made precious little difference.
Some of the music is great, but then there's other bits where it just sounds like about 4 disparate musicians trying to keep up with one another, with Van Morrison putting everyone off and wailing over it.
It's not the kind of the musicians doing their own thing in an exciting way, like Alan Wilkinson quartet,
yeah,
as we discussed on Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Or even
Miles Davis.
Let's go back to Miles Davis.
Yeah.
I mean,
we enjoyed that.
Listening to this, I feel like we need to go back to that episode,
yeah,
and say, you know what? Miles Davis is a genius.
Yeah. I mean, really? I mean,
because compared to this dreck, which I think is actually higher in the top 100
than
Kind of Blue. I need to recheck that fact.
I would clearly point to a white supremacist agenda.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. So there's some kind of agenda that's making this be popular, and it's not a musical agenda.
We tried very hard not to be overly critical before it had even started.
Yeah, because I mean, you may have already got the vibe that we don't like Van Morrison, but no, we don't like Van Morrison as a person.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't like Liam Gallagher as a person, but I love the first 2 Oasis albums.
Yeah.
They're brilliant.
Yes,
and the various other people. I mean, Ian McCulloch, dick. But capable of making great music.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of musicians that have enormous egos and egregious personalities who are still capable of making great music. And Van Morrison is just not one of them.
It was, I mean, one of the things I try to look for when I can make them out is lyrics.
Mm.
And even if Van Morrison was singing the same melody over, lyrically, there was just nothing to grab onto because it was either repeated vowel sounds or the lyrics just didn't seem to tie into anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of vowel sounds.
Yeah.
But it was a strongly vocalic album. A lot of, and then, no, 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 no. It was very, like that one cat. Yeah. In that YouTube, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no.
Oh, that guy from Vicar of Dibley. No, 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 no. Yes, that's basically, that is 30% at least of Astral Weeks is him going no, 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 no.
Mala, mala, mala.
Many, 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 many.
I mean, again, I'm trying not to be critical for the sake of being critical, but there was nothing. There was barely anything in that album that was holding me to a positive opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say we spent at least half the time going, oh, and the other half of the time seeing how long it was until the end of the track.
Yeah.
It's,
and that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one song that was, I think it was track 5, so it was at the halfway point that had a very interesting sort of mariachi trumpet.
That was actually, I think
that is probably one of the ones that I've just mentioned. 1, 2, 3, 4. The Way Young Lovers Do.
Yeah, I think that was the one with the slightly mariachi.
Yeah.
That was a great intro. It grabbed my interest for possibly a minute.
Yes.
And then lost it.
And do you know what the track after that was?
What was that?
Madame George.
Good God, what a turgid,
which is probably
nonsense
the,
that was.
I think
if the album biggest, hadn't already lost me at that point, then it would have done.
If I mean, Madame George for me was in a nadir.
Mm. It was so awful that I actually stepped up my drinking schedule, because it's kind of my policy of one beer per episode.
Yes,
and I've basically almost caned my second beer now. So thanks, Van Morrison. You're making me an alcoholic.
Yeah.
John's almost finished an entire cider here, which is pretty fast-paced drinking.
I'm a very slow drinker, generally, but Van Morrison really, it actually has helped.
Yeah.
Or hindered, depending on your perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's nothing I can say to positively commend it to anybody.
Let's try. Let's think of a thing each that we actually thought was good about the album.
Okay, who's starting?
all right. A lot of the music was actually very well played.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily, it didn't, a lot of the time it didn't feel like anyone was reading from the same sheet.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times it all felt a bit slapdash.
Mm.
But it was all very well done. Except, and I'm going to throw a negative in the end of this positive,
right,
pretty much negating it.
Yeah.
That one completely out of tune guitar that you pointed out.
Yes.
What was that about? Because we've heard some out of tune guitars in folk music being used as a point.
Yes.
Like Richard Dawson, he plays a very heavily detuned guitar.
Yes. But it's intentionally.
It's so intentional, and it sounds amazing once you've gotten past just how nauseating the sound is.
I mean, how? I think it was at the start of Ballerina. I think it was where that. It wasn't detuned, it was out of tune.
It was out of tune, yeah. There's a very big difference.
But how do you let that get away? How does that go through several stages of mixing and listening?
That does remind me of something. It was the question, what is the only number one single that's ever featured a recorded profanity?
Right.
And that was Hey Jude by the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah, you can hear, I don't know if it's Paul or Ringo or something, but one of them, you can hear them. It's on every recorded version of it. At one point during the na 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 that bit.
Yeah.
You'll hear one of them go, fucking hell. And it's there on the number one singles. It's there, it's there on the best ofs. It's there every recorded version. You say they go, Fucking hell. So, listeners at home, check it out. I am not lying to you.
I'm going to have to find that.
It's right in there, and it's hilarious when you find it.
I mean, I'm having... Right, if I'm...
But yeah, let's have your positive.
My positive thing.
Very hard positive.
Right.
Because my positive was some of the music is played quite well, which is... Oh, that's right. The faintest of praise.
This is as far as finding praise for the album as a whole, and this is for the album as a whole, this isn't a positive thing about Van Morrison or anything else. It's that the producer... At varying stages in the record, thought, this is going nowhere, this is bollocks.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Some of the way that the songs on this fade out before the song ends, it reeks of the producer going, this is fucking shit.
I've had enough of this.
No more of this, thanks very much. So that's my positive, is that the producer had the sense to fade some of it out.
Yes.
I also wanted to bring to light this, because we're listening to this on Spotify, and this is the original version of Astral Weeks, and below this album there's a list of more albums by Van Morrison, one of which is a 2016 compilation entitled It's Too Late to Stop Now.
This is very much how we felt. Very much how we felt while listening to this.
As soon as Van Morrison started singing on the first track, we just thought, what sort of vocal styling is this that sounds like somebody's straining for a note in the same way that you strain for a very difficult turd?
Yeah. It's the passing of the recalcitrant stool.
Because as well, you notice his voice kind of eases off a little bit, and and then it gets... worse again.
Did I say, Van, eat more fibre? Come on.
So he's just singing between extrusions.
Oh, God. Singing between extrusions.
There's a title.
Third stage.
Cancelled.
Thanks, Barry.
It was a really difficult listen. And with the best of intentions, I thought, maybe the fact that I don't like Van Morrison... has got nothing to do with the music. Maybe it's just him being a bit of a curmudgeon and potentially playing gigs to a timer.
He always comes across as an utterly awful person. But as we've already established, awful people can make great music.
Yeah.
But...
in this case...
yeah.
It's very self-indulgent and it's very repetitive. It's out of time with each... like, the musicians aren't playing in sync. And if you're having a band play music for you... one of the things you've got to make sure you're doing is that everyone's playing in time with one another and not just trying to noodle over one another, which is what a lot of the guitars are doing. It's what a lot of the woodwind is doing.
Everything, yeah, felt like it was on its own agenda and was just a bit...
I'm doing what I'm doing and everyone else ought to fall into it. And if everyone's thinking that, if everyone's thinking, I'm going to do what I'm going to do and everyone else... can get into step. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Yeah, oh yes.
That's all you're getting from us this week.
Sauce.
Yeah, not Soz. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audioboom.